Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I was getting ready to speak and I realized the microphone was away from me. That doesn't work too well. You got to have the microphone nearby. But good to be with you here this afternoon. And we're going to be on till 2 o'clock. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call this afternoon. Hey, you can call us toll free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Just a reminder, you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And also, you can find us on Facebook at Live with Pastor Al as well on Facebook. And I was trying to get my wire in place here for the microphone so that I could run the Periscope. We've been trying that. If you've got a smartphone, you can download the Periscope app for free, and you can watch us on Periscope. And good to see people joining us there even now. But that's just another way we're trying to reach out, try to share the Word of God with people and encourage Christians and people on their walk with Christ and to help point people to Christ that are searching. And let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer this afternoon, and then we'll get into a few things here together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air. We pray that you bless the program. Use us for your glory. Thank you again. We just pray be a blessing to somebody today. Point people to Christ. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, kind of a drizzly sort of day here in Northeast Ohio today. And it's almost October, last day of September. Hard to believe September is just flying by. And we're in the midst of the election season. It's really moving fast right now. A lot of things happening. And we sometimes get caught up with all the events that are taking place, with the elections, and we lose sight of things that are happening in the world around us. We lose sight of other things, and so I had a couple of things I was going to mention here today that I thought were encouraging, also maybe concerning, just some different things here. I guess one thing that I was going to mention here, I saw this and I wanted to mention this. This is an encouraging thing. There was a meeting back, I believe it was about a week ago, Sunday or thereabouts, between Donald Trump and the Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu. He was in New York City a week ago. I don't think it was this past Sunday, so it would be the week before that, I guess. But while he was there, he met with the presidential candidate Donald Trump, which is a smart thing to do because, he's a world leader, Netanyahu, and he knows that he's going to have to be working with whoever the next president of the United States is going to be. And so it certainly would be smart on his behalf to try to meet with the candidates. And I know he's met with Hillary Clinton in the past, and I don't know that he's met with Donald Trump in the past, but he took the example to meet with presidential candidate Donald Trump. And what I found interesting about this is they seem to have a pretty good rapport from the article that I was reading. And the article notes that Donald Trump recognizes what we call the special relationship between America and Israel. And then he went on to say the unbreakable bond between the two countries. And I thought that is a good statement there, because there is a strong bond between America and Israel. And if you think about it, it was President Harry Truman that was the first world leader that recognized the brand new sovereign state of Israel when it was declared in 1948. And kind of interesting story, because Harry Truman originally came into the executive branch as the vice president for Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And he had replaced the previous vice president. I do not recall his name, but I believe the previous guy, actually, since the fall of the Soviet Union and the opening up of some of the files from some of the intelligence services from the East, the Eastern Bloc nations like East Germany and also the former Soviet Union, Russia now, found out something that was long suspected, but actually proven, that Franklin Roosevelt's vice president prior to Harry Truman was actually in the pocket of the Soviet Union KGB, and which is kind of a concerning thing. But he was not the vice president who was there when Franklin Roosevelt passed away in office, and that brings up another interesting thing. Franklin Roosevelt, FDR, as president, assured several Arab interests that as long as he was president, as long as he could do anything about it, that Israel or a Jewish state, a sovereign Jewish state, would never be recognized in the Middle East. And just a short time after that, less than a month later, he passed away suddenly in office. He was at a place in Georgia where there was what they call the summer White House, where he would go. There was some hot springs that was near there, and he would go there and soak in these hot springs because he had polio, crippling polio, and as in his youth, and he suffered from the effects of that all his life. So he would go there, and he was sitting for a portrait that was being painted while he was there, and he passed away. So they call it the unfinished portrait. My wife and I had the opportunity to visit. You can take a tour, and they show you where he was, where he stayed, and where he was when he passed away, and where they were painting the portrait and all of that. And you can see the, I don't know if it's the actual or a reproduction of it, but you can see it while you're there. But at any rate, FDR famously said that he would never recognize a Jewish state in the Middle East as long as he was president. Shortly after that, he passed away, and Harry Truman became the president of the United States following him. And as president, he was advised in no uncertain term by all his advisors that you should not recognize a new Jewish state, because there was rumors that there was going to be one, that they were going to attempt to declare a Jewish state. And recall, in the area of Palestine, British Palestine, that in the early 20th century, to the Balfour Declaration in England, was given that there would be, as a mandate, that there would be a Jewish homeland. And they were carving up the Ottoman Empire, because the Ottoman Empire, of course, in World War I, was one of the Axis powers. It sided with Germany, and of course, the Axis powers lost World War I, and the Ottoman Empire came to an end, and its holdings were divided up, and the European powers basically created the boundaries of many of the countries in the Middle East that are there today. And this is interesting when you think about it, because they originally created the land of Palestine. It was awarded to the British to oversee it, and they called it British Palestine, and it included all of modern-day Israel today, including the West Bank, as well as the country of Jordan. And there was so much unrest amongst the Arab and Muslim elements of Palestine at that time that the British government caved to pressure in the Home Office to give land for peace. And then in exchange for land, there was supposed to be peace in Palestine. And so they created another Arab state. Now, keep in mind, they had already, the European powers had already set up the borders for Syria and Iraq and a number of other places, some of the borders of Egypt and things like that, as they were dividing up the land there. And so they took away about three quarters of Palestine that was set aside for a Jewish homeland, and they created another Arab state called Jordan. And then by the middle of the 20th century, in the 1940s, the newly created UN was overseeing the land of Palestine, and they were again in response to pressure from Arab interests and rioting and attacks from Arab Muslims in Palestine. They decided they were going to do land for peace exchange, and they were going to carve up the Jewish homeland in the land of Palestine into basically a indefensible series of tracts of land. And it was about that point, 1948, that the Jewish people in May of 48 said, this is enough. If we keep going, there'll be nothing left there. And that was the goal, actually, nothing left. Same goal that the Muslim interests in the Middle East have today, that there would be no Jewish presence in the Middle East at all. And so they declared themselves the State of Israel. Now, what's interesting, getting back to Harry Truman, is that he was told by all his advisors not to recognize a Jewish state. And he was in the White House, and most everybody was gone. And it was, I believe, midnight in the Middle East when they declared it. So I think about 6 in the evening or so in Washington. And he had a telegram that was already typed up, that was written recognizing the new Jewish state. Nobody knew that it was going to be called Israel, which is kind of interesting because the Bible refers to Israel as being the land in the latter days. But nobody knew it was going to be called Israel. So you can see pictures of the telegram where he had penciled out the Jewish state and wrote over it the State of Israel, and he was the first world leader to recognize the State of Israel. So I find it encouraging, thinking the relationship that we've had as a nation with Israel. Plus, Israel's the only free democracy, I should say, that's in the Middle East today, and so Donald Trump has recognized the special relationship between America and Israel and the unbreakable bond between the two countries. And they discussed military assistance, security, and regional stability as well. But what I also thought even more with this is that in the course of the thing, the article says this, that Trump acknowledged that Jerusalem has been the eternal capital of the Jewish people for over 3,000 years, and that the United States, under a Trump administration, will finally accept the long-standing congressional mandate to recognize Jerusalem as the undivided capital of the State of Israel. Now, that's a tremendous statement. That needs to be mentioned, and maybe in one of the upcoming presidential debates, somebody will bring up Israel, and maybe Donald Trump will have a chance to mention this at one of those debates. But we need to look at the candidates, we need to pray about the candidates, and we need to realize where they stand in relation to Israel. We have a president right now, probably has had one of the most adversarial relationships with Israel of any president that we've had since Israel became a state. We have two candidates running right now, and Hillary Clinton has taken untold thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars from Arab interests to fund her campaign. And so, that's probably why she hasn't acknowledged that Jerusalem's been the eternal capital of the Jewish people for over 3,000 years, and that the U.S. under her administration would accept the long-standing congressional mandate, like Trump said that he would. So that's an encouraging thing. Just wanted to share that. That's I haven't heard that really being mentioned elsewhere in the news. And we can talk about that, or I'll talk about some other things. Just a reminder, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. From there, I want to transition to a completely different sort of topic. And this is something that I've always found interesting. And it's going into biology and human origins here. And I've said before that on the programs that they've shown in the study of genetics that everybody is descended from one man and one woman. And it's really, really rather interesting how this is all worked out. And they call the man Y chromosome Adam. And they've been able to determine that because they've studied certain DNA mutations that occur in the Y chromosome, which of course only men have, and they've been able to study the Y chromosome mutations in men from all around the world, and they've come to the conclusion, of course, that every single person in the world is descended from one man, and that, of course, they call Y chromosome Adam. Well, we know from the Bible in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, God said, let us make man in our image. In the image of God made he man. And then the Bible says he called him Adam. So we know who that is. Then, in his regards to Eve, they have studied the DNA that is in the mitochondria. And the mitochondria is a little organelle that exists inside of the cells of living organisms. And in particular, we have them in each one of our cells. And the mitochondria, because it's outside of the nucleus of the cell, the mitochondria comes only from the egg cell, which is from your mother. So the DNA in the mitochondria only comes through the maternal line. And geneticists have researched this back, and they've determined that every single human being on the planet is the descendant of one woman, and they call her mitochondria Eve, because of that. And again, in the Bible, in Genesis, God created Eve from the rib of Adam, and Adam called her woman because she came out of man, and she was given the name Eve. And so Eve became, the Bible says, the mother of all living, not the mother of all living creatures, but the mother of all living human beings. I heard somebody one time try to say that the reason we know that there's no life on other planets or anywhere else in the universe is because the Bible says that Eve is the mother of all living. And that's simply not true, because God created living plants on the third day, and he created he created fish and he created birds on the, that would be the fifth day. And then he created the various animals and stuff that we see on the sixth day. And then he created Adam. And then finally Eve was created. So there was a lot of living creatures that were created before Eve was created. And not only that, Eve did not give rise to any other living creatures other than human beings. And so it's kind of an ignorant statement to try and say that it can't be any life anywhere else because Eve's the mother of all living. No, there's no human life. If there were human life anywhere else, it would have had to have come from Earth, because Eve is the mother of all living, the Bible says. So when we look at this, it's interesting. Again, science is showing that the Bible is true. Genesis story is true. But here's the thing that's always been a problem with this. It's always been stated that, the rate of DNA mutation takes place slowly, and so as a consequence, this would have been mitochondrial Eve and Y-chromosomal Adam would have lived tens of thousands of years ago. In fact, maybe 100, 150,000 or more years ago. But there was a study done recently, and I've seen some things on it, and this is an ongoing study, I guess, in genetics. But there was a study, I finally tracked one down, that gave some written information about this. And in the journal Nature Genetica, they have a quote in here, and it says this, and this was a study, it was put out by Yale University, I believe, is who published this. This is a study that said this: an individual that is a genealogical ancestor of all living humans existed just a few thousand years ago. Had you entered any village on earth in around 3000 BC, the first person you would have met would probably have been your answer. That came from the journal Nature there. And this is interesting. So I went back looking some of this up, and let me see if I can find this this thing here. What happened is they found that the rate of DNA mutation takes place far faster than they ever expected that it would take place. And they say this, going through all the calculations and all the things that they worked out, they said this, these estimates would suggest with the exchange of just one pair of migrants per generation between large pan-mictic populations of realistic size, that all sounds good, that the MRCA, that's the most recent common ancestor, appears in about the year 3000 BC, and all modern individuals have identical ancestors by about 3000 BC. Now, why is that interesting? Well, for one thing, it certainly puts our common ancestry within the realm of the Bible chronology, especially since many people have estimated that Noah lived, guess what, around about 3000 BC. Say, wait a minute, Pastor Al, you're talking about Noah. I thought you said we're all descended from Adam and Eve. Well, that is true, but we're also all descended from Noah and his wife. Think about this. At the time of the flood, which is about 3000 BC, according to many estimates, there's a variety of estimates, but I think that's a good ballpark figure, in Adam having been created about 1,000 or more years prior to that, around about 4,000, give or take a few hundred years, BC. But when the world was destroyed with the flood, everybody that went on to the ark was Noah and his family. Noah's three sons, which would be common ancestors of every single human being today, were all descendants of Noah and Mrs. Noah. Now, obviously, his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, had wives that would have had other mothers, but the descendants of Shem, Ham, and Japheth all would have had a common ancestor in Noah and Noah's wife. So, in that sense, Noah and Mrs. Noah would have been our most recent common ancestor. And I don't have time to get into it now, but I just recall there was another study that came out recently saying that when you look at the differences in human DNA and the way that certain mutations have occurred in, it comes down to about three major branches about 3000 BC, which would reflect the genetic information that came from the wives of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And then those three stream back into one, which would reflect the genetic line of of Adam and Eve. And so again, here we find the Bible and science, not science falsely so-called, but true science coming together. Kind of interesting, isn't it, when you look at that? Here it is, a non-creationist, non-Christian-oriented publication, a journal of Nature here, that actually comes up with the date that the most common recent ancestor that we have, not only, I didn't bring this out, but not only was probably somewhere in the Middle East, but also dates to the time of the flood. Kind of interesting, isn't it? Well, the Bible, science, they're not in conflict. You know, Paul told Timothy to beware of science falsely so-called. There's a lot of false teaching out there in science, and you need the biblical worldview to help you understand what's going on in science oftentimes. You need a biblical worldview to know what's going on in the political scene as well. And so that's why my goal is to get you thinking and to get you reading and studying your Bible, and also to develop a biblical worldview that'll shape what you believe and why you believe it. Don't let the world rob you of the precious truth that we have in the Word of God. And the most precious truth, of course, is that Jesus Christ came to make a way of salvation, to pay for our sins as he died on the cross and shed his blood to pay for our sins. He was buried and rose again the third day, victorious over death and sin. And he'll save those that call upon him. Thanks for listening. Join us next time. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight, and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.